short this week. We want to be a direct supplier to Hong Kong. Mr. Lee.
You want to work with me? I need 2,000 pounds. Don't be late.
I'm in deep. These are the kind of guys you do not want to cross.
Tony's running out of time. And West Virginia is running out of ginseng.
March 1990, and there's a strike going on at Greyhound. 6,300 drivers and 3,000 office and maintenance workers have struck over pay and job security. The average Greyhound worker earns less than $25,000 a year. So you asked your magic 8-ball what will happen, and it returned with a shockingly specific answer of, on day two of the strike, 59-year-old Robert Waterhouse will be accidentally crushed to death by a scab driver while on the picket line in Redding, California. The 30-year employee was set to retire that upcoming summer. Reports of bomb threats and sniper attacks on Chicago buses will create further tension. Greyhound will hire thousands of scab drivers who were given a week's worth of training before operating 10-ton buses unsafely. Riders complained of replacement drivers falling asleep at the wheel, and then, tragically, 2 months after it began, Greyhound will unilaterally declare an end to the strike, reducing its number of drivers from 6,300 to 4,000, hire 2,700 permanent replacements for strikers, and convince 500 union drivers to cross the picket line, one of the biggest blows against organized labor since 1981 when your dad's favorite president fired striking air traffic controllers and hired permanent replacements for the nation's control towers. Greyhound will file for bankruptcy in June, and 3 years later, the strike will officially end with a settlement seeing Greyhound pay $22 million in back pay, reinstate hundreds of drivers, and raise wages. You take your magic 8-ball to work so that you can show Fernando just how impressive your prediction skills have gotten. But he stays down in the under-kiosk stockroom practically your whole shift, making you do all the work with none of the flirting you had imagined. And now you've gotten raspberry stains on the newest issue of your favorite magazine, which you hadn't even opened yet, and has a boy on the cover that the 8-ball says you'll get into a fight with Eric about when he will insist that's River Phoenix. And he will not ever budge on how wrong he is, probably because he's just messing with you and won't admit it, putting you in a double wrong bind that makes you think you're pretty sure his name wasn't always Eric. God damn it, your period is definitely coming. Anyway, fuck it all, everything sucks. Let's dive into the second birthday issue of the only thing that really matters in your life. Yes, it's time to
listen to Sassy.
Oh, boy, oh boy. That went places I was not expecting. This diarist has quite a life. Are we ready to get into this issue? The diarist has already suffered so much with.
Yeah.
March 1990, our spine line is wee! And our first feature is very wee-worthy. She's not crazy.
I have a question before we get into she's not crazy.
All right.
In the notes that have all the sections, and you've put spine line, colon, wee, did you match the number of E's in the notes versus the spine?
Dave, that's such a great question. I did think about it, and then I didn't. I just guesstimated. I'm sorry. Do we need to start over? Is the implication here?
My favorite thing now is the weekly scruples. With Dave and Tara. It's like we just peel back another layer of this marriage onion. He knew you well enough to know that he could call you on it and safely know that you would say, I did think about it momentarily, but didn't. What a scruples player team.
I mean, I think he was honestly asking. I think he thought that the odds were that I would say, of course I did count them and match it exactly.
That's correct. I thought you would want an equal number of E's on print and in digital.
Yeah, I didn't. Sorry.
We all have the things that we are crazy for. Hey, speaking about things we're crazy for.
She's not
feature
crazy.
Number one. She's not crazy.
It's yeah. Not she. Yeah.
I think this is where we're starting to see how Catherine moving out of the state of New York has changed the magazine, because this is would have been a year ago this time, a very Catherine feature. This is not normally the kind of thing that Christina would cover. Catherine did the hard stories, the really tough ones like the Nazis and whatnot. And Karen did the like fun, sexy relationship stories. And then Christina did entertainment. I think she does a fine job. It's just interesting that like something that would have in another time gotten assigned to Catherine. I think they're like, we can't have the faxes going back and forth 5 billion times on this one. It's too complicated. So Christina, you're up. And this is a story of a young woman named Sarah who was having some emotional problems, and her parents checked her into an inpatient hospital program. And she wrote about it for It Happened to Me, and they decided there was enough good stuff in here that they, instead of doing that, wanted to actually interview her. And part of her was probably like, can I still get paid the $300? Because it's a significant amount of money. Yeah. They don't actually say whether they did. So we learn about her story and her family and how this all happened, starting with, in the deck, it's like she didn't try to hurt anyone. She didn't try to attempt suicide or hurt anyone else. And it's like, people might need inpatient mental treatment for issues other than attempted suicide or murder.
But are you going to get a made-for-TV movie deal out of something like that?
You're sure not. No. So a lot of this that we can now dig into with the benefit of hindsight, a systemic problem, as so many problems are, starting with a lot of people get basically committed to programs like this because it's cheaper or their insurers are more likely to cover inpatient stays than they are to cover like weekly therapy, which is so fucked. Just so fucked up. There's also at this point a rise in for-profit mental health facilities. It's still a problem in this country. Google it and a depressing number of results will come up for your state or any other state that you look at. We won't link to all of them. A lot of investigations have gone on because a lot of abuse is happening in these places and people are getting warehoused there that probably don't always need to be.
It's like the casino. You win negative 20 crazy points, but they give you 30 crazy points.
Sure.
The house always wins.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's true, sadly. The upshot of this seems to be like her parents didn't know what to do. They had already gone through something with her older sister where she also had what they describe as like an acting out period where she was also put into the same program before Sarah was, and still bad. I mean, there was a Slate care and feeding letter recently, like within the past few weeks, where that they headlined, "I want to disown my demonic daughter." And the letter was basically, I don't want to be a parent to this kid anymore. She's a jerk. Can I put her in the foster care? And they were like, technically, but don't, because she's never going to get adopted. She's in her teens. A lot of stuff here that feels very 1990. Christina describing Sarah as curiously unemotional, which I thought was funny because this is a time when she wouldn't have assumed she was probably on mood stabilizers, whereas I did, and most people that I meet, I assume they probably are. She was put on Pamelor. It's not the new hot drug anymore, but it does still exist. It is described for depression, and when I saw the name of it, I laughed because I didn't remember that part, but I bet Pamelor did.
Yeah. Pamelor is Pam's barbarian Dungeons & Dragons character.
It's true.
Pamelor of the Hill People.
Oh, I'm going to roll this die. That's how I assume you play. I will roll in my character. I've rolled a 13. Rawr. It's what they write on my Starbucks cup 44% of the time.
Pamelor. No doubt. Yeah. The kicker is there has to be a better way. That's where you start to wrap up. That's not the last line of your article. I feel like, yeah, there does have to be a better way. What might that be? But we don't get that far.
I got one.
Sure.
Yeah.
Won't someone think of the children?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's a lateral move, but there's right. Another option for you.
Sure. Sure, sure.
Oh, I got another one.
Mm.
What's up with that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, one more. You got one more. Yeah.
I got bummed out when it was like, we think actually she just wanted to go because her sister did. And she felt like that's how she was going to be special. And that I was like, even here, even after you send her away, trick her into an institution.
Yeah.
Then you say you just wanted to be like your sister. Like, mm-hmm. What do you think got her in there to begin with?
It's a bummer. And, you know, this is where we start the second anniversary issue. Thank you, Christina. Thank you, Sarah. I hope they got you something.
I hope you're doing great. And then we go straight into feature number two, One Night Stand Prevention Kit. Just wee! Now our legs are up.
So we start from the premise of, like, you don't want to have a one-night stand prevention kit. And we've pointed to the current day Teen Vogue a lot. I feel like they would be more likely to take the position of, like, as it were, it's fine to have a one-night stand and don't worry about it. Whereas this is It's crazy how retrograde it is for Sassy or any magazine. Here's a quote. "To understand what makes males act this way," meaning like hit on you and then not want to talk to you again, "memorize these two hard and fast rules. One, the fundamental difference between the sexes is that a boy can kiss a girl and forget she exists 5 minutes later while a girl is visualizing the wedding after the first second of eye contact. Two, men rarely fall in love with girls who give in to them right away." And adds later in this paragraph, "even if you are under the delusion that all you want is a little excitement, give in, delusion." Fuck this. Fuck this then. Super fuck it now.
Yeah. It contradicts itself within itself, which also drives me nuts.
Yeah.
Because it says that one of the pickup lines that you might hear is a dude saying, "this may sound strange, but I've never felt this comfortable with anyone in my entire life. This is how you're supposed to know that he's drunk. Only drunk people would say this to you," they say here to little Pam. But earlier they said, "now you might be thinking about getting married from first eye contact, but I'm sober, Sassy. So which is it?" Mm-hmm. Is sober Pam a drunk boy?
Boy, that's a thinker. Maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe.
She also says, "actually, this can be true of guys who aren't drunk, too. If they want cha-cha, they'll promise you anything." I was like, ew. Cha-cha. Cha-cha. She also says caca at some point elsewhere. So it's just, we're in a real Dennis Miller mode here.
Yes.
Christina Kelly.
She's there's only so much you can do to swim against the tide of culture, I guess, because this was his day.
Yeah, cha-cha.
She also writes, "keep your mouth tightly shut and your legs firmly crossed if you want to keep his attention. Okay, Phyllis Schlafly. Holy shit." And also says you should beware of or accept the sign of a no commitments tattoo. But if you're getting a tattoo, that's a commitment in itself. A no commitments tattoo is kind of a contradiction in terms, in my opinion.
Mm. It's kind of genius. It's, you know who has that
stuff
tattoo?
You wrote, Tara.
They might be giants.
Yeah.
One of them has the no and the other has commitments.
Save it. That's the next episode.
In conclusion with this one night stand prevention kit, I remember the last time I was agog with the idea that I should just want a summer fling.
Yes!
With no, like, I'm just supposed to want to pick up a boy or girl or whomever, have my tryst,
sure,
and then throw them over my shoulder and walk away with my fist in the air, Jed Nelson style. Mm-hmm. Jed Nelson? No.
Yeah, Jed Nelson.
No, this headache's turning me into Dave.
His brother doesn't want you to go by his parents' house in Maine either. Just leave Jed and Judd Nelson alone.
Pam's going through a process of dumbening. One of us. One of us.
Oh, no. This process hurts. Anyway, it's hard to be a virgin who needs instructions when Sassy's going to be so contradictory within itself.
Yes.
I'm a drunk boy, girl, virgin. I just feel comfortable talking to you. Is that weird? I guess I'm not supposed to say that out loud. I'm going to go read my magazine.
Hey.
I love Jed Nelson. I hope he's president.
Feature number three, your and our 20 coolest women ever. They pulled readers. They also put in some of their own suggestions. They came up with this list. And I tried not to just be you're wrong about every person on this list. But there are a lot who I would say have not stood the test of time as choices. So we're not going to name all of them, but let's go through the highlights. Starting with Madonna, someone who I certainly could say a lot of bad things about now. But instead, I'm just going to leave it on. I've just about had it with them shitting on the video for Express Yourself, which is good and smart and satire, and they are always wrong whenever they bring up that it's bad, in my opinion.
Janet Evans. I didn't know Janet Evans. Is that strange? Mm-mm. Should I have known Janet Evans? I had to look her up.
It's a very generic name. Sounds like a 50s actor. Or could be somebody at the grocery store.
I think it's okay not to know a college swimmer. Like, sorry.
Maybe she's a nurse. She's got one of those kind of names.
But she was an Olympian, and in 1988, she was 17, and she broke a world's record in the women's 400-meter freestyle. And then it says, she was the top sportswoman you guys picked, and we suppose that's because, unlike other young sensations, she's humble without sounding fake. Talk about it. And I was like, is this Mary Lou Retton they're dishing on? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Then it says, talk about integrity, when NCAA rules forced her to decide between raking in the moolah, doing commercial endorsements, think Mary Lou Retton, or being eligible to swim competitively in college, she said, "I don't like the rules because I could be set for life now, but there's nothing I can do, and I'd rather swim." And then it says, "Righteous." And I was like, no, Sassy, mm-mm. Once again, you set it up for, here is injustice. And then you're like, she fucking touched that ceiling with her finger and kissed it. Like, what? No.
Yes. Pay college athletes. Still a debate we are somehow having.
If you're going to be downtrodden, ladies, why not own it in style?
If your school gives 95% of all monies raised to support the athletes' programs, mm-hmm. give them to the athletes, too.
Yeah. Sojourner Truth. Surprise. I have nothing bad to say about her. So I'll skip over to Jodie Foster. The end of it. Sure, she's a brilliant actress, but there's something else to her overwhelming sense of humanity. After winning last year's Best Actress Oscar for her performance in The Accused, Jodie said, "I want to thank my mother, who taught me that cruelty might be very human, it might be very cultural, but it is not acceptable. And as we are recording this, it is in a post Brooke Shields Pretty Baby documentary and post her interview with Drew Barrymore, where they both talked about how their mothers were really fucked up in their relationships with them and managing their careers, and how all of that love and codependency and the girls' requirement to like be the financial support of their family like fucked them up and is still kind of not really great. Surprise, Jodie Foster's relationship with her momager seems extremely unhealthy. Also, we will link the story I found in the visual in the show notes because rough stuff. She is a great actress, though. Tina Turner. They describe her as having got smart and dusted the loser, Ike Turner, in order to start the next phase of her career. Not how we talk about domestic violence survivors now. Also, probably shouldn't have then. Yikes. Don't blame people for their own abuse. Also, rest in peace, Tina Turner. We miss you already. Clara Hale. She ran a charity for children in New York. 12 years after this, her daughter Lorraine, who is mentioned here as carrying on her work, was indicted on 72 counts, including grand larceny and forgery. Some of the children used in fundraising appeals for their organization were placed in legal adoptions. Yikes. Yikes, yikes, yikes.
Did anybody else, when they read grand larceny, thought she stole babies? It was like sticking them under her arm, sneaking out at night. Yeah. Just like handfuls of babies under her. No, just me.
I mean, she did. She put them in illegal adoptions.
Tiptoeing.
She did. That's grand human larceny.
Mm-hmm.
You're the pizzicato tip-taps of a baby thief.
Marilyn Monroe, quote, "We don't have to tell you that there's nothing terribly smart about being addicted to drugs. Smart doesn't really enter into it." Let's not victim blame. Florence Griffith Joyner, very likely used HGH. Sylvia Plashy, we've talked about her before. Nothing bad to say.
And in here it says, check out her photos for Who Killed Billy Rosebud and Young White Racists in that collection of vintage sassies you're keeping for posterity. And I was like, oh, she sees me now. It's happening. There's a lot of full circle in this issue of Sassy.
Mm-hmm. She published multiple books of photography after this blurb, several of which won awards, and she was also a Guggenheim Fellow in the 70s. Barbara Jordan.
Mm-hmm. She has most recently had the first ever state building named after a Black woman. Anybody who was a 1993 academic decathlon scholar knows exactly who Barbara Jordan is and why she should be on this list, because we had to memorize all kinds of things about her. So hello to you, 17 people, I'm going to guess, at the max! 15 of which went to high school with me in academic decathlon.
What's up? Maybe the greatest honor for her is that the street in Austin that is named for her is where our nearest Jamba Juice is.
Your legacy is intact.
It was in her requirements.
And it's near Ike's, as Dave noted.
Yes, so thank you once again, Barbara, for all you've done.
Mother Teresa, I feel like everyone's kind of turned on her by this point. You know, bad stuff
that
happened.
Bitch.
What? Seriously. Provided dubious care, misdirected donations, unethically performed deathbed Catholic conversions on Hindu patients.
Got him.
Among other things. She was doing Jackass. That's your take.
Mother Teresa's punked.
Hi, I'm Mother Teresa. This cut to Jackass. This is deathbed conversion.
You're a Christian now.
Finally, Faye Waddleton, who was the president of Planned Parenthood of America at the time. Faye is great, but what's frustrating is they use the word articulate to describe both Barbara Jordan and Faye Waddleton so close together that the words articulate almost overlap each other in between the two columns.
Yeah.
And when I first got on this Zoom, Dave was like, look at that squint she has. I have not lost that squint since I saw articulate next to the word articulate. I'm so mad.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, ladies.
Yeah. Reclaiming my time. I recuse. I'm out.
Oh, my God.
I want out.
All right, let me recap.
I hate it. Well, I, just, I don't think any. Hang on.
No, no, you ceded the floor. I don't think the listeners understand what this story is about from anything that's just happened. So I will just give you my understanding of it.
Please.
There was a man who was drafted into to the space program. He was a big country Western music fan. He wanted to, because he had trouble on Earth getting people to listen to his music, he thought maybe beings on other worlds would appreciate his versions of Hank Williams songs, except he couldn't really sing very well because his voice changed. So he got a mouse named Maury to help him. He lived under its cowboy hat, and he's the one that did the singing. And the reason why he was so smart is because he was one of the mice from the NIM factory.
Sure.
And that's this story.
Yep.
Close?
That's as close as you need to get.
It's good enough.
It's not worth correcting you on any of this because this story is very forgettable.
Great. I'm just going to edit that down to my explanation of it, and that's all that's going to be.
That's fine.
I'm fine with this.
Well, you got to sing it because you're up
first. I know. I'm warming up. I'm warming up for the big body talk song. Let me hear your body talk.
That was perfect.
Hi, how you doing? I'm good, Dave. How are you? Fine, doing fine. Body talk, body talk.
I'm sorry, right. Were you just complaining about Pam being incoherent?
Now this is incoherent. I'm just giving myself options. There's a difference. According to me.
She just left. She did. She's gone.
Too bad. Anyways, we'll continue without her. Okay. Body talk. Our first item from Body Talk is on the topic of ginseng. Ginseng. Americans are getting hip to the weird Chinese root. Mm-hmm. It's like you really knocked out of the park with pork, the other white meat. What else you got in that big, juicy marketing brain of yours? Well, how about this? Ginseng. Weird Chinese root.
Another myth bites the dust. You absolutely positively cannot damage your eardrums by blowing your nose too hard. And they have nothing to back that up with. They just said another myth bites the dust, and it's not true. You can hurt your eardrums from blowing your nose too hard. They didn't have Google it, but I do. And not only can you damage your eardrums, it's rare, but you could. Mm-hmm. It's not likely, but you could. So that's not a myth when you can.
Right.
You can do all kinds of things if you blow your nose too hard, including make your nose bleed. We will link in the show notes. Mm. Give yourself a sinus infection because you're just blowing your crud right into yourself. You can rush your eardrum. You know what I'm talking about, Dave.
Blowing your crud right into yourself is what you're trying to avoid when you have a one-night stand.
I blow your crud right into myself.
We're blowing cruds into ourselves. And that's the They Might Be Giants version.
No, I was doing the Divinals.
Oh.
I blow your crud right into myself. I don't want anybody
else's crud.
Else's crud.
Any crud myself is right there.
I crud myself. Thank you. You can give yourself a brain aneurysm. You can fracture your eye socket.
Jesus.
You can blow up the base of your eye socket from blowing your nose too hard. And then in Carefree MD, where I get all my medical advice Otherwise, it says, apart from being extremely painful, this also takes a long time to heal.
No kidding.
Generally, the recovery for fractured eye sockets takes 3 to 4 weeks.
Can this, is this, like, how can you even create the velocity necessary to do that? Like, okay, is this something that can happen if you're John Cena, or can it happen to a regular person?
Sometimes when I sneeze, my hips hurt so much that my, I buckle. So, you know.
Your what buckle?
I buckle.
You buckle?
My whole self.
From a sneeze?
I have a bad hip, Pam. Okay. Getting hard to get around these days because my hip. Boy. And then when I sneeze, sometimes it activates whatever movement makes my hip very weak. And gotcha. I start to fall down. So, you know, one day in the hopefully far future when you read Dave D. Cole died after sneezing, you'd be like, oh, yeah, right. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Can't you also get a stroke by holding in a sneeze? Isn't there a whole bunch of things that happen when you hold in a sneeze?
Oh.
Wait, I haven't finished. Number 6, air pushed into your lungs. You can sneeze so hard that it just goes the other way, which again might be if you hold a sneeze. You can rupture your alveoli.
Oh, I love raviolis. Mm-hmm. Chef Boyardee's aviolis.
It goes right into your Lisa Loeb lungs. Says, while this is rare, if it does happen, it comes with considerable chest pain.
Think before you go out and waste a lot of money on those home electrolysis systems. They depend on you knowing how to correctly insert a needle into a hair follicle. I had no idea that's what this was.
Oh, sweetie.
Well, why would I?
I don't know.
Do you know about dick swabs? Tell me all.
Yes.
Tell me everything you know about dick swabs.
I feel like I can piece it together from context clues.
There's no such thing about dick swabs. Got him. Me and Mother Teresa up in heaven high fiving each other. Got him. I just grow a unibrow. Nobody's going to judge you for sticking needles in your hair follicles.
Yeah, I didn't realize this was something people even tried to do at home. I'll say that.
How complex is a dick swab that you think we don't know what it's for?
Well, tell me what it's for. I'll tell you if you're right.
The crazy part is that dick is the brand name and it's for swabbing your throat.
That's right. It's for sensual pirates. Let me swab your dick. Okay, anyways, a recent survey found out when it comes to first impressions, what you smell like is crucial. Mm-hmm. Voice, hair, and clothing don't matter as much, and only eyes and face scored higher than what you smell like. So quit agonizing over your duds and jam on some perfume. So if you had to describe your natural scent as like a perfume, how would you go about that?
Obviously Gone with the Wind, the perfume.
Oh, I see.
No. But... I mean, I hope I smell like nothing, really.
Yeah, I'm going to say paper tones with milky notes.
Is me or
yeah,
you?
You.
Okay.
Yeah, books and milk fat.
Yeah, that's fair. I'll take that with a little like a top note of what we were talking about yesterday when you open the bottle of Excedrin and it's that like weird vinegary, powdery smell. It's that too because, you know, headaches a lot.
Sure.
Dave, of course, smells like hot sauce.
Fine.
I'm Cholula.
Oh, okay.
It's Cholula. That's what your cologne would be called.
Cholula.
Nice. Cholula.
Yeah. And Pam, we had the bottle Pam up.
I already optioned books and milk fat to the Disney Channel, even though we're on strike. I couldn't help it.
Pam, no! Don't scab!
I had to.
Oh, she crossed the picket lines. That's why Pam perfume smells like scabs.
It'll surprise you none that I can reach many perfumes from where I'm sitting right now.
Sure. Uh-huh.
Regular perfumes or perfumes that also have benefits? Like, oh, it's perfume, but it makes your eyes glow brighter at night.
This one's lucky.
Yes. The answer is yes.
By the way, yes. Are you still taking...
Bonafide.
I was going to say befuddled. That's not the
no.
name of it.
No.
You still taking your befud?
I left my last empty bottle of Bonafide in your office.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah, I did discover that eventually.
Clean towards a cookie.
Yeah.
Clean to cookie area. Never a flower, never a rose.
So what you're saying is you smell like a mid to high price midtown Manhattan hotel room before you get in it.
Yes.
bed sheets and one cookie on the pillow.
Oh my God. That's the dream. Pam, let's get married. That's
Introducing Doubletree by Pam. Healthy eaters take note. In 33 states, there are no set laws about what can legally be called organic produce. Gary, if you care about your fruits and vegetables being pesticide, fungicide, and herbicide-free, a good rule of thumb is only to buy, and then in quotes, certified organic produce, or what's grown locally, blah, blah, blah. If there's no fucking laws about what you can call organic produce, how is something in quotes called certified organic any better than anything else? Once again, Sassy not paying attention to what Sassy just said in the last sentence, apparently, is the theme to this issue. Because it sounds like that you're just on your own when it comes to organic produce. It's what you choose to believe.
Mm. Yeah. Or should certified be in quotes, and that's what they meant. That you only want certified organic.
But there
produce.
Is no certified organics.
They're that's saying the in point. 33 states there isn't. Yeah.
In 33 states, it's the wild, wild west when it comes to organic produce.
Yes.
There is no such thing as certified organic produce in 33 states because they just don't give a shit. You live in Utah. Now, in order to combat the fact that there's no fruits and vegetables that are certified organic, you should probably try to find certified organic fruits and vegetables. Problem solved.
Yeah.
I said problem solved.
I'm going to be honest. I tuned out for all of that because it said healthy eaters take note. And that's how I knew. Take a break, Tara Ariano. This is not for you.
Yeah. Maybe I should put a little more milk fat in this perfume in the next batch.
We all know what a pain it is for left-handed people to deal with scissors and spiral notebooks. But did you know? This is another one of Pam's party fun facts. But did you know that southpaws are more accident-prone too? In a survey of 2,000 college students, lefties got into twice as many mishaps as their right-handed counterparts. Once again, the victim blaming from Sassy will not stand because it's probably due to the fact that they are navigating a world designed for not them.
Yeah. Dave, would you like to speak to that as the only left-handed person on this podcast?
I think the most I've ever injured myself due to having to use right-handed tools and as a left-handed person, although I'm not like a super lefty. I'm one of those lefties that have certain left-handed things,
right,
such as writing, but a lot of things I use my right hand for.
Like a dick swab?
Wait, you really don't know what dick swabs are, do you?
I do.
You don't use your hands.
Do. You, when the doctor asks you to.
You don't use your hands with dick swabs.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Anyways, the most injured I ever was, thanks to living in a right-handed world, is blue knuckle throughout school from using the Paper Mate erasable pen.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And then your knuckle drags over everything you just wrote because of this fucking left or right writing system we have. God damn it.
Yeah.
This month's What He Said is, do you use pickup lines? And 84% of the boys lied no. 16% said yes.
Hey, Pam.
Yeah.
Do you use pickup lines? Would you like to pick up a line right now?
Are you using one? Are you using one right now? Oh, I can tell, by the way, you can't see this, people who are listening, but there was a straw involved in that question. And that is how you know. That's how I know. Because I believe in sincerity, but I can understand when someone is ironically looking at me.
Mm-hmm.
It is the hard part for me right there, right in the middle, that little sweet spot of, but he said, but he looked like, and then this is a difficult place for me to decide if someone's using a pickup line or asking for salt. Mm-hmm. Young MC is the person they asked this month.
Wait, says, do you mean you just, every time somebody asks you a question, you have to run through an internal, you know, dialogue with yourself on whether that is a pickup line or just a regular line?
I don't have to. I choose to.
I choose to. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
It makes life more fun.
Mm-hmm.
On this chart topping rapper who exhorted males. Ugh, fuck it. So Young MC wrote Bust a Move.
Yeah.
And he says, I have to see someone's character and get a feel for their personality, not just get their attention. I'm not an advocate of one-night stands. I need to see how someone talks and how they respond. Then I can decide if I want to be with them. So don't just stand there. Bust a move. I'm just like, what is he talking about? What is he talking about?
Yeah, that's a great point.
Okay. Brent, 19, says, I'll usually just ask them to dance, ask where they go to school, see if we know any of the same people, just try to find some things in common. What? Okay. And then, he's a freshman at Northeast Wisconsin Tech and an aspiring prototype engineer, where even Sassy's like, I don't know what that is. So then he says, if you need to use a pickup line, then you have to keep using them, and it's kind of hard to keep thinking up new ones. Why would you have to keep using new ones? How many times do you pick her up?
Right.
Mike, 20, is tennis and volleyball enthusiast who works out regularly. Mike is sporting sports at all times, except for his picture, which is taken in front of class lasers, mm-hmm. a very important backdrop for all boys that you thought were cute. Between 1989 and 1992, he is standing definitely in front of laser beams. Mm-hmm. Mike, 16, can break my heart. Look at this guy. Look at his picture. He this is a mugshot.
Okay.
And
he is 16. He looks like he could be the 19 and 20-year-old guy's dad to me.
He's like a Frankenstein, a hockey player, and the Punisher for one person.
Yeah.
Yes. He can destroy me. You make me think that perhaps Mike 20 is this guy down here who's one of the outsiders, and Mike 16 with lasers is 16.
Right.
Because otherwise, what?
Yeah.
It's happening.
Yeah.
Okay. This makes more sense.
Yeah. Because alleged Mike 16, he looks like he works out regularly. You know what I'm saying? I think they flipped the photos. I think we solved it. And Randy looks like he could be Mike's grandfather. He is Mike's accountant.
No, Randy is the kid from Malcolm in the Middle, all grown up.
Yes, he is. He does look like Dewey. It's true.
He's a motocross racer and a student at Tarleton State University in Stephenville, Texas.
It's another song from us.
A coach someday.
two different things happening at the same time. That's the sassy bonus.
That's the sassy way. 720 Sassy Go. Did you hear either of us? Let us know. Anyway, Mike is doing what he said this month. And I think now that he put two mics in this, that he officially has a mic bias. And it's maybe time to give what he said to someone else who's not Neil.
Yep.
Help!
This one's based on true events in our lives.
Help!
Oh my God, it's true!
Headaches from exercise. I get pounding headaches whenever I run or do anything that takes a lot of moving around. I'm getting very concerned about this. Can you help? Signed, Joanna. Lots of stuff in Help and like other Q&As in this magazine is go see a doctor, which is good advice.
Mm-hmm.
But also I think they should always put a couple just like guesses in.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a brain padding defect. And your brain's just like slamming around in your head. I think that would be fun because otherwise, like, go see your doctor is kind of a boring answer.
Go see a Dr. Pam. That's their advice for you right now. Ibuprofen is not the best for headaches. You should take Tylenol. Everyone tells you don't take Tylenol, but Tylenol works the best if you're not going to take Excedrin because of the caffeine.
Okay. I'll go take some Tylenol after this. And then bath. Someone told me a hot bath might help where everything feels terrible.
We got plan for the rest of the day, Pam.
Well, I'm going to record another one of these because I love you guys. And I'll probably complain through that one. And then I'll take a bath and I'm going to finish
this
wonderful
book. Next up, boyfriend isn't cute.
Yes,
desperately in need of help, writes, I'm going with this guy who's nice and sweet and treats me well, but there's just one problem. He isn't the best looking. I know personality is what matters, but I care about what people think. I sometimes feel uncomfortable going out with him in public.
Jeez.
I know it's mean, but what should I do? Well, first of all, you're kind of a bad person. But second of all, have you seen a doctor about it?
Has he?
Has he? Have you tried a doctor prescribes one paper bag? Take a date two towns over and call him in the morning.
Kicking drugs. I do drugs. I started with some weed when I was 11 years old. Now I'm 15 and doing crack and other drugs. I think I'm addicted. I'm scared and want to stop desperately, but how? Let's start with this. No, you don't. You don't smoke crack. You're 15. Where did you even get crack? No, you don't. This is a made-up letter. Give me a break.
They have a lot of people from New York City who read the magazine, though, Tara.
This crack's made in New York City.
Yeah,
in New York City.
I sleep in a bra.
Oh, they got my letter.
I sleep with my bra on every night. I heard a rumor that my breasts won't grow or that this will slow down their growth.
I don't put it on my chest, Pam.
I know you don't. You cuddle up like a whoobie.
He's warming up the area for when he gets dick swabbed next. I would just say this is the girl who should be in a mental institution, right?
You guys don't know anything about dick swabbing. You have to do it in a meat locker.
Like you're trying to make fire.
Please don't make a dick swab shirt. That's all I ask.
Please.
A meat locker.
Make a magnet.
Wait, are dick swabs magnetic?
You tell me. Oh, was that it?
No, I already said my joke and you talked over it, so whatever.
Let's do it again.
Yeah, lay that joke on it, Star. Make sure to laugh, Pam.
It's not worth it. It's not worth going back to.
Make sure to laugh real hard.
My hilarious joke from the doc.
Yeah.
Named her Emily Dickinson. This is the girl who should be in a mental institution. 3 exclamation marks. Ha ha ha. The end.
Because what I meant was I have huge testicles. Get to the page. Gotta get to that page. Gonna keep this in because it's a great song. Great song stuff you wrote. Talking all about that stuff you wrote.
Pam's got a headache.
That's great. This isn't
emotions
him. He's getting his wish.
Hey.
He's going to learn what happens when there's less Pam talking and Max Dave. And he's going to be like, I liked it.
You're right. He is.
It's time for the first thing and stuff you wrote. Emotions of the summer melted, running together on the sidewalk while the tears run down my cheeks. It's so hard to say goodbye. From Betsy, who is definitely writing about an ice cream cone that
for
she dropped.
Definitely. Sure. One time I was getting into the car. This wasn't the summertime. It was winter, but I like Dairy Queen any time of year. People know this about me, milk, fat, and paper, as we heard earlier. And my hands were too full as I was getting in the car with my dipped cone, and I dropped it right next to the car on the floor, on the ground. And it was so upsetting. I didn't write a poem about it, but I did take a picture and put it on Instagram. On the grid, mind you, not story even. And I got the response I wanted, which was, go get another one. You're next, I think. D'Irene Fabichini, is that what you wanted? You don't want to talk about it?
Oh, I just put that there in case I'm not reading this because I will give myself. Now I got to do it. I've been talking about it. Disillusion me. Every page in every book has words written between the lines. And the truth is forever seen through changing, ever changing glasses. Every step is cautious like a bridge over troubled water. I wonder if there's anyone with no skeletons in their closet. Stroked out. Thanks, D'Irene Fabichini.
Yeah. Love a Fabichini.
Itsy Bitsy. Yeah.
It's the summer.
Teeny Weeny.
Weenie.
D'Irene Fabichini.
Fabichini.
Got there.
Definitely heard this every
Got there.
Day of her life.
I had two strokes.
Mm-hmm.
Naomi Fink of Temecula writes, The Attack. You can't not picture someone at the front of class reading this. Here we go. The Attack. It was clear. Clear as the sky on a windy day, soft as a rose petal, smooth as the enamel on a piano key. Perfect. But then came trouble. Unwanted strangers who would come for a week, some even for a month. As one would leave, another would invite itself. And if not left alone, they would become irritated, which was very bad. Every kind of exterminator imagined was called, but it was to no avail. After a while, a family of 5 would come at a time, even 20. It was now totally covered, overcome and defeated. The pimples had won the war against the face.
Oh! Expectations subverted! Naomi Fink. She really made me think with that one.
And finally, don't you think Billy Joel's We Didn't Start the Fire is a ripoff of REM's It's the End of the World as We Know It, and I Feel Fine? Signed, a very aware, sassy reader. And I have to say, I 100% honestly never had this thought in my life, and I don't know how, because this reader is totally right.
Yeah.
And but the better song is Billy Joel's, because it's way more fun.
Unfortunately, it is. It doesn't feel like it should be the right answer, but it is really fun and stupid to sing that song. Pam is curiously silent. Do we think a very aware, sassy reader was Michael Stipe and that he was mad about all the fat stacks Billy Joel was?
No, it was probably Jane on his behalf.
It was probably Jane. It was probably Jane.
I think they're two very different songs.
Do you?
I do.
How so?
How? Well, I have a headache.
Okay, good point.
I don't feel like I should have to back this one up. Next time!
We'll be talking about the pop culture topics of the March 1990 issue. Roger and me and Queen Latifah get reviewed. Enter a contest to date baby Spike Jonze. Wah. And Pam and Dave must hold their noses while both the Johns of They Might Be Giants get profiled. And
John and John, and we're being interviewed. John and John, who's which one's John?
And more. For my plug this week, nostalgic shows were all over season 12 of the ATX Festival, so read my coverage of, among others, a Cheers reunion and a Simpsons showrunner panel, and we will link those in the show notes.
I'll do your plugs, Pam. Pam's got a headache. She's on strike. Yeah. Please strike, won't you end? And won't my headache end? Signed, Pam.
At WGAContract2023.org.
You can follow Tara on Twitter or Instagram at Tara Ariel. You can follow Pam on Twitter at, oh, this fucking headache. You can follow this very show at Listen to Sassy everywhere. If everywhere was just Twitter and Instagram. You can support us on Patreon by joining the Listen to Sassy Club. For $5, you can find out the secret of the dick swab. I'll explain it all to you in detail.
No one.
Because so far, these people didn't get any details right.
That was a Nancy Drew book, right? Bobsy Twins.
You can support us for free by rating and reviewing us on the podcast app of your choice. Tell your friends. Tell your coworkers about us, and when you do, click on those stars. Of course, 83 stars is what we're asking for, right?
That's right.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You can find more information about the podcast, visual aids for all our episodes, and contact info for us at listentosassy.com. And we're going to be taking the March 1990 quiz in a couple of weeks. You can take it now because we put it up online, but Dave wants you to know it's just a picture now. You do your own scores.
That's right.
Because it's a lot of work, and Dave is precious, and it hurts when he sneezes, and he falls right down on the ground.
That's right.
Just like, can you take your own quiz?
Nothing makes him sneeze like a quiz.
Nothing makes him sneeze like putting in
quiz. That's only the end of a perfume ad. Nothing makes you sneeze like sneeze a quiz. Achoo.
Yes. Achoos you.
Wind song. That's a wind song, is when you sneeze.
That's right.
It's true. So we're going to rate our self-centeredness, and Dave's throwing down the gauntlet with, I don't want you to think about this quiz without thinking about me. And you can call us at 720-SASSY-GO or leave us a voicemail about how anything in your life went genuinely. How's your headache? I don't get them often. This is awful. I feel like I'm two people and only one of them has bones. Oh, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Pam, do you want to regroup maybe tomorrow?
Maybe
I feel like we need to let you go.
No, I don't know if you are. Not incoherent. I'm just giving myself options.